Okay, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the early start. So we left off at the Mishnah on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. We're now switching topics. We've been talking about Prizbal the last number of days. We're going to get into discussions mostly about Eved Kenani now. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Eved Shenishba Upda'uhu. So you had someone whose Eved was captured, and then there were Jews who went and, Rashi says, there were Jews went and redeemed the Eved from the people who captured them. So we're going to say what the Mishnah says, but we're not really going to understand it until we get into the Gemara. Im l'shum Eved, if they redeemed him for the purpose of him being still in servitude, yishtabed, then he would continue as an Eved. Im l'shum ben Chorin, if they redeemed him for purposes of making him a free person, lo yishtabed, then he's not deemed an Eved anymore. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Ben kachu ben kach yishtabed, regardless of what the intent was of those who redeemed it, the halacha is that the Eved stays in servitude. So again, the Tanakama says, depends on the intent of the person who redeemed them, and who redeemed the Eved. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, it really doesn't matter what the intent is, regardless, the person is an Eved. So now the Gemara says, B'may askinan, what are we talking about? Ilei malifnei yiyush, if we're talking about before Yish. Now, Yish is the concept of giving up hope of ever recovering something. So, for example, we have the famous Sugyan Bal Metzia, Yish Shalomidas, the question of if someone, whether they give up hope with or without knowing that something is lost. But in any event, Yish is the concept of giving up hope that you're ever going to recover it. So, if we're talking about a circumstance where the owner already gave up hope, on earth his Eved got captured, he gave up hope of ever recovering his Eved, at which point the Eved is basically Hefker because its owner has given up its ownership, then if we're talking before Yish, so the owner has not yet been Miyayish, has not yet given up hope of recovering this Eved, L'shum ben Chorin amai lo yishtabed. Then why does the Mishnah tell us that if the person redeemed him with the intent of his being a free person, it says that he's a free person. But why should he be a free person? The fact is, the owner hasn't given up hope to get his Eved back, and therefore it belongs to the original owner. So on what basis would you say that the Eved goes free? So we say, El Eliacher Yish. So maybe it's talking about after Yish. So the Mishnah would be telling us the halacha that applies if the owner gave up hope of ever getting back his captured Eved. So then we say, L'shum Eved, Amay Yishtabed. But then, if we're talking about where there's already been Yish, then why should it make a difference? And then if the people redeemed him with the intent that he should be an Eved, Amay Yishtabed, why should he be an Eved? Because the fact is that the owner gave up, relinquished ownership and control and rights over this Eved, and therefore the Eved should be a free person if it's after Yish. So what would be the rationale why he should be considered still an Eved, even though it's after a year? So we're struggling to understand the circumstance that our Mishnah is talking about. And we're going to bring two answers, Abaya and Rava. So Amar Abaya. Abaya says, La'olam lefnei yish. Our Mishnah is talking about where the owner did not give up hope of recovering his Eved. Ulushum Eved yishtabed l'rabo rishon. So when it says that if the person who redeemed him, that he should be an Eved, it was saying that he should continue to serve his first master. Why? Because the master never gave up hope. The master was intending that he didn't give up hope that he would recover his Eved. Therefore, when he's redeemed to be an Eved, of course the owner continues to have him as an Eved. So now, the one we had trouble with, though, was what we're saying, if it's before Yish, if the owner hadn't given up hope, then why, when he redeems him in order to be a Ben Chorin, to be a free person, why does that help? He should still be an Eved. So the Gemara says, L'shum Ben Chorin, if the person redeemed him to be a Ben Chorin, lo yishtabed lo l'rabo rishon, lo l'rabo sheni, then he's not an Eved for either the first one or the second one. Why? L'rabo sheni lo d'halushum ben chorim parke. So the reason why he's not, doesn't belong as an Eved to the new, to the guy who redeemed him, is really for two reasons. One is a very basic one, is because its owner hasn't been miyayish, and is the first owner still asserts right. So of course the second owner can't get it. And secondly, in any event, we're saying that the redeemer redeemed him with the intent of his not being an Eved. So of course the second person who redeemed him can't be his master. So why can't the first one, this is though the case that gives us trouble, the owner who never gave up hope, he should still have ownership of his Eved. Why do we say he goes free? Just because the person who redeemed him for the intent of going free. So we say, L'rabo Risha Nami Lo, but he doesn't go back to his first master either. Dilma Mimani V'lo Parki. Why? Basically, Chazal said as follows, that an Eved does not have a Chiyuv to be redeemed, right? But what's the problem? That you have an Eved Kenani, and Eved Kenani is Mechuyiv and Mitzvahs. So if the Eved Kenani is Mechuyiv and Mitzvahs and he's captured by these captors, then that's a bad thing because he can't do his mitzvahs because generally speaking, they're going to work him hard and they're not going to, and we remember we're talking about where he got kidnapped or captured by Goyim, they're not going to respect his obligation to do mitzvahs. So therefore, we want him to be redeemed. But there's no chiyuv to redeem him. So therefore, what are we doing? We're saying that if the person redeems him with the intent that he should be a free person, we make him a free person because otherwise we're worried that people won't redeem him. Because no one wants to redeem an Eved and spend their money to redeem the Eved only to have him go back to the first owner. The liberal leanings of people is such that if they're going to redeem him, they want him to be free. So therefore, because we want to encourage people to redeem Avadim so that those Avadim can continue to do the mitzvahs that they're mechuyev in, we're basically, with Hefker, Bezen, Hefker, we say that the first owner does not get them back, even though he was not miyayish. So in response to that, so how are we explaining? We're explaining it according to Abayas before Yish. The reason the first, and the reason if he does it l'shum avdus, it goes back to the original owner. If he does it l'shum ben chorin, the second guy, the redeemer, doesn't get it because he did it so that the guy should be free, and the original owner doesn't get it back because we're trying to encourage this behavior. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rav Shimon Gamliel's response then was where he said, Benkach u'benkach yishtabed. Why did Rav Shimon Gamliel say that doesn't make a difference what the intent of the redeemer was? We make him go back to the first owner. Because Kasavar, Kishem Shemitzel Liftos es Bnei Chorin, Kach Mitzel Liftos es Havadim. Because Rav Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that there is actually a chiyuv to redeem the slave, just like there is a chiyuv to redeem a regular Jew to when he gets captured. So therefore, what was the reason that we took him away from his owner was because we were trying to encourage people to redeem him. And the only reason people would redeem him is if they actually got him to be free. But now, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, there's a different reason they should redeem him, because there's a mitzvah to do so. So then they're going to do it. So you don't need to give this incentive by saying Hefker Bezen Hefker, and you're taking him away from his original owner, even though the original owner was not Miyayish, because there's actually a mitzvah to have him do it. Okay, so that was Abaya's answer. And Abaya was explaining our mission to be talking before Yish. Rava says, no, our mission is talking lo'olam la'achar Yish. It's after Yish. So let's remind ourselves, what was the problem we had with that? The problem we had with that is we said that if it's la'achar Yish, and the guy who redeemed him so that he should be an Eved, who cares? Why should he therefore go back to his original owner? The fact is that the original owner was Miyayish, so why should he get him back? So the Gemara says, Ulashum Eved Yishtabed, when it says that if the person redeemed him in order that he should be an Eved, that he in fact is in servitude, is talking about Larabo Sheni. It's talking not that he goes back to his original owner. He's saying as follows, the guy was captured, the original owner was Miyayish. At that point, he doesn't own the Eved. He gave up the Eved. Now the guy comes and redeems him, and he keeps him as his own Eved. So that's not a problem. So that's how we're going to explain it Lachar Yish. When it says, L'shum ben chorin lo yishtabed, when it says that if the guy redeemed him to be a free person, he's not meshubid. Lo l'rabo rishon, lo l'rabo sheni, not to his first master, meaning the original owner, lo l'rabo sheni, not to the guy who redeemed him. Why? L'rabo sheni lo d'holoshum ben chorin parke. He doesn't go to the guy who redeemed him, because the guy who redeemed him said, I'm redeeming him so that he should be a free person. So obviously, he's a free person. L'rabo rishon nami lo, he doesn't go back to the first owner either. Why? D'holachar yish havi, because it was after yish. This is an easier case to understand. Basically, what we're saying is, no one, if he redeemed him to be free, no one gets him because the original owner was Miyayish and the new owner didn't want him to be an Eved. If he redeemed him to be an Eved, so then the original owner doesn't get him back because he was Miyayish, so the new owner can keep him as an Eved. So why did Rav Shimon Gamliel argue? Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Benkach u'benkach yishtabed, that regardless of the intent of the person who redeemed him, he still remains an Eved. Why? So here we're gonna apply we're going to apply a takana, even though technically, since he was miayish, the owner should not get him back. But here's the problem. We were worried kechizkia. The Amr Chizkia raised the concern. The Amr Chizkia, said me pnei ma amru benkach benkach yishtabed. Why did we say that he goes back? To the first owner, or that he goes to a owner, that he can't go free. Because otherwise we're worried that we're going to create a bad problem in society. People are going to go, avadim are going to go get themselves captured. They're going to go into a war zone or whatever, and they're going to get themselves captured. Why will they do that? Because they figure as follows. Chances are at some point their owner is going to be miayish. Then they're going to get redeemed. So either they're going to get redeemed by someone who's a liberal guy and wants him to be free, so then he'll be free, or he'll get redeemed by some other guy and he'll become the master. That new guy will become his master. Maybe the new guy will be better than the old guy. So the grass is always greener on the other side, and he figures, I'll try a new master. I don't like this one too much. So we run into a societal problem that avadim will go and get themselves captured all the time. So because we wanted to avoid that, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, even though the owner was miayish, either he goes to the new owner as an eved, or he goes, the person who redeemed him as an eved, or he goes back to his original owner, even though the guy was miayish, because we don't want to encourage people to go get themselves captured. So the Gemara asks, Meisvei. The Gemara brings from our Mishnah. Amar Lam Rabbi Shim Gamliel. Rabbi Shim Gamliel said, Kishem Shem Mitzvah Liftos. I'm sorry, this is from the Brisa. Kishem Shem Mitzvah Liftos has been Echorin. Kach Mitzvah Liftos has Avadim. So we said before that Rabbi Shim Gamliel explained the rationale for why he says under either circumstance he remains an Eved is because he wasn't worried about the fact that people wouldn't redeem unless the guy goes free, because there's a mitzvah to redeem it. So Bishlam Abaya Damar Lifnei Yiyush, according to Abaya's answer that said it was before Yiyush, Hainu Tekamer Kishem. That's why we said Kishem, because Abaya was reflecting a concern that people would not redeem an Eved because there was no mitzvah, and therefore you had to make a special takana, to which Rav Shimon Gamliel said, Kishem, there's a mitzvah, just like there's a mitzvah to redeem a Jew, there's a mitzvah to redeem an Eved, and therefore we don't need that takana. Elo Rava, but according to Rava, Damar La'achar Yish, that it was after Yish, Hi, Kishem, what does that mean? What are we talking about? Just like there's a mitzvah to redeem a free person, there's a mitzvah to redeem an Eved, that has nothing to do with it. Mishum Dechizkiyahu. That because the Rava was raising a concern of Chizkia was worried that Avadim would go give themselves over to be captured. So what kind of answer is it to say that just like there's a mitzvah to redeem this one, there's a mitzvah to redeem the other one? That's irrelevant to what's being discussed according to Rava. Amlecha Rava, Rava would tell you, no. It was very nice that you had that kishem, but that's because you cut off Rav Shimon Gamliel in the middle of his sentence. Rav Shimon Gamliel actually said two things. Rav Shimon Gamliel will have a yadam ma'akam rabbanan. Rav Shimon Gamliel wasn't sure what case were the rabbanan were talking about. Were they talking before Yish like Abaya? Or were they talking after Yish like Rava? So the Gemara says, v'hachi kamar luhu, and this is what Rav Shimon Gamliel said. Ilif ne Yish kamrisu, if you're saying that we're talking about a case before Yish like Abaya says, then hainu kishem. Then I'm going to answer you. So what did Abaya say? Abaya said we were worried that people aren't going to free him unless he goes free, so therefore, Hefker Bezdin Hefker, we take him out. And to which Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Kishem, I'm not worried about that because there's a mitzvah to redeem an Eved, just like there's a mitzvah to redeem a Jew. So Ila Acher Yish, and Rav Shimon Gamliel continued and said, Ila Acher Yish Kamrisu, if you're telling me that it's after Yish, like the case of Rava, Kidachizkiah. So then it would be like Chizkiah. So really, Rav Shimon Gamliel said both. He said Kishem, and he said Kidachizkiah. Because according to Abaya, the Gezerah we make is that Rav Shimon Gamliel is coming to say we don't make a gezerah because there's actually a mitzvah to redeem the Eved also. And according to Chizkia, Rav Shimon Gamliel is coming and saying that we do make a gezerah because we don't want Avadim to put themselves in danger like that. So with that, we've resolved the question of what our mission is dealing with can be dealing either before Yish like Abaya or after Yish like Rava. Okay, now, jumping topics a little bit, but Ularava, the Amr Lacher Yish, that according to Rava, says La'achar Yish, Ularabo Sheni, that what did Rava said? Rava said that if the slave got captured, the owner was Miyayish, the new guy came and redeemed him in order to be an Eved. So the answer is he serves according to Rava, he serves
then the second guy, the guy who redeemed him, he serves the second master. So what the Gemara is going to struggle with here, and it's a little bit complicated Gemara, but the Gemara is struggling with the following, is by what basis, how is it that, from whom is the second master, or the guy who's doing the redemption, how does he acquire this Eved? Because the Eved is being held by a captor, and the question is, how does he come to be in how does he gain ownership of this Eved? So that's why it says, that it goes to the Rabbi Sheni, miman kanile, from who does he acquire him? So we say, mishavoy, he's acquiring him from the captors. Why? Because we're talking about a case of after Yish. So it's after Yish, the original owner has given up hope of getting back his Eved. So obviously it doesn't belong to the original owner. So he must be acquiring it from the captors. The Gemara says, shavoy gufoy mikanile. Who said, how do we know that the captors even acquired him? In other words, by what basis did they acquire him that when the person redeems him, it goes to that person? You can't buy something from a thief, for example. So the Gemara says, it's true that the captors do in fact acquire him. What does that mean? Kani le lemaise yadav. They acquire him for the purposes of his handiwork, whatever work he does, his work, that the guy can acquire this guy. So in other words, let's just be clear. We're saying that the captors, the people came and captured this Eved Kenani. So you have a guy who's a captor, who's taking a captive, who's also a guy. And what we're saying is that a guy can acquire another guy, at least as relates to his handiwork, if not his body. So where do we know that from? And flesh it out. The body, we're going to see what happens to it. But we're going to flesh this out. So basically what we're establishing is that the captor is able to own the Eved because he owns his Masi Yadayim. And therefore when he sells him, we'll answer Michael's question now. Therefore when he sells him to the second master, at that point the second master is acquiring the right to his handiwork from the guy. When he's tovel him, when he puts him in the mikvah, which is what you do to an Eved Kenani, to be mishabed him, at that point he acquires the body. So the answer is, he acquires part from the captor, and part when he puts him in the mikvah. And remember, the original owner's out of the picture, because he was miayish. He gave up hope of ever getting his Eved, so he's not a relevant party to this transaction. Okay, how do we know that a guy can acquire another guy by his Masi Yadayim? The Amrei Shlakas, the Shlakas said, Minayin l'avikachavim, shakanas avikachavim, l'maisa yadav. How do I know that one guy can acquire another guy for purposes of his handiwork? Shenamar, as it says, v'gami b'nei atoshavim agarmi machem, mehem tiknu. So the Pasuk says, what this is dealing with is as follows. We're going to see this again later on today's daf if we ever get there, because time is not doing well. But there's basically a concept that we encountered this previously as well, that in Yevamos, that you have to kill the Kenanim when you come to the land of Canaan. But the halacha is that if there are people who are non-Kenanim men who came to Eretz Yisrael and they married Kenani women, that those children you can purchase for into servitude. So it says the gam b'nei atoshav magar mimachem mehem tiknu. It says that from those people you can make them slaves and you don't have to kill them. But it says mehem tiknu, and Rashi points out that this is our needless words. Why? Because the pasuk before says eved mehem tiknu eved v'amma. From them you can acquire eved v'amma. So you see, you can acquire them. So the next pasuk would just say v'gam ibnei atoshavim agarim imachem. Why do you have to say mehem tiknu again? So you see, the words mehem tiknu are extra. So we learn from those words that from them you can acquire, meaning from these non-Kenani fathers and Kenani mothers, you can acquire avadim. Atem konim mehem v'lo heim konim mikem. You can acquire from them, but they can't acquire from you. So it's saying a Jew can own a Kenani, quasi-Kenani Eved, but a quasi-Kenani Eved or a guy cannot acquire a Jew. And one guy can't acquire another guy. Right? So far that's what we've learned out from Reish Lakish. That is not what we're looking for. We're looking for how can a guy acquire another guy. But he says, the Reish Lakish continues and says, Yachol lo yiknu zeh zeh, I might think they can't acquire each other, meaning a guy can't acquire a guy. So the Gemara says, Yachol, you think? Yachol lo yiknu zezeh, you think that maybe I would think they can't acquire each other? Ha'amrit lohem konim zemizeh, you just finished saying they can't acquire one another. So we're interrupting the Brisa to ask this question. So it says, Hachikamer, vlohoim konim zemizeh legufo, that what Reish Lakish said, that a Jew can acquire a guy cannot acquire a Jew, and a guy cannot acquire another guy, is all talking about acquiring the body of the Eved. They cannot own the Eved. And Rashi says, what's the point of owning the Eved? The idea that you would need to get Shichror, so therefore if you would be Misgayer, and if you would be Misgayer and he could marry a Bas Yisrael, he doesn't need a get Shichror, because a guy cannot own another guy in a full Eved sense, because he can't own his guf. And then the Brisa continues, Yachol lo yiknu zeh zeh, when it says, oh, I might think that since a guy can't own another guy, I might think that he also can't own it l'maisa yadav, that's what the Brisa, Reish Lakish is saying. So Reish Lakish establishes, a Jew can own a guy cannot own a Jew, a guy cannot own a guy in the guf sense. I might think that the same halacha should be true l'maisa yadav. To that, Reish Lakish says, Amr kavachomer, I'm going to tell you a kavachomer. Ove kochavim Yisrael kone, he says, if a guy can acquire a Jew for purposes of his Masi Yadayim, then for sure he can acquire a guy. Then a guy can acquire a guy. So what do you see here? That a guy can acquire a guy for purposes of Masi Yadayim. Now how do we know that a guy can acquire a Jew? Because there's a pasuk that says that if kisasig yad ger v'toshav, it basically the pasuk in Vayikra, I think, says that if the guy becomes rich and he's able to, and your brother, the Jew, becomes poor, he's able to purchase him, right? So you see the idea that a guy can purchase, we know he can't purchase the guf of a Jew, but he can purchase the Masi Yadayim. So we're saying, how do I know that Masi Yadayim is different? Because if a guy can acquire a Jew, he for sure can acquire a guy. Why? Because it's harder to acquire a Jew than acquire a guy. How do we know that? Because a Jew can own a guy, we know you can have an Eved Kenani, but you can't own the guf of an Eved Ivri. So if a Jew can't acquire a Jew, for sure a guy can't acquire a Jew, because therefore that's how we know that since a guy can acquire a Jew, for sure he can acquire another guy for purposes of Masi Yadayim. So now we've established, so what were we dealing with here? We were dealing with the question, how did the captor come to own the Eved, such that he could transfer it to the second owner, to the redeemer, is because when he captured him, he owned him for the purposes of his Masi Yadayim, that he's able to sell to the redeemer, and then the redeemer is able to retitle him to acquire his guf. Now the Gemara says, okay, ve'ema hani mili bikaspa, avol chazaka lo. And he's saying, you haven't really proved the case to me, because where did you bring a raya from? You brought a raya from a guy who buys a Jew for his Masi Yadayim, which was the idea that the guy became rich and the Jew became poor, he could buy him. But it says that he could always redeem himself by paying back the guy who bought him. The Jew can always redeem himself from the guy. So if so, what do you see? If you say you could pay him back his money, means this halakha applies when you acquired him by money. So what do you see? You see that a guy can acquire a Jew by buying him. So since we learned the kol shekein, so therefore a guy can acquire a guy, halachas kama v'kama, but all you see is that he can acquire him with money. You don't see that he can acquire him with a kinyan chazaka by doing something to him, like making him serve him or something. So why is that relevant to our issue? Because we were trying to establish, how is it that the captor came to own the Eved? How would he come to own the Eved? By stealing him, by taking him, and making him work for him. But we haven't proved that a guy can own another guy for Masi Yadayim by virtue of grabbing him. We've only seen that he could do it by buying him for money. Hani mili b'kaspa v'chazaka lo. So Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, well, we're going to prove it from somewhere else. Where? Amun amoav tiaru b'sichon. So, as follows. We know that the Torah tells us that you cannot take, the Jews cannot capture the land of Amun amoav because it's for B'nai Lot. But we see that the Jews captured Sichon Sichon captured some lands that belonged to Amun amoav, and then the Jews captured it from Sichon. So what do you see? You see that obviously the lands transferred from Amun amoav to Sichon, and that's why we were able to capture them. If they stayed the possession of Amun amoav, we wouldn't be able to capture it. And we know we came in and captured the lands of Sichon. So therefore, what does it tell you? It tells you that when Sichon captured Ammon and Moab, Sichon took ownership of it. So what do you see? You see that a guy can own another guy. And therefore, if a guy can own another guy, which we see from Sichon enabling the Jews to capture land that used to belong to Ammon and Moab, so here too also, a guy can acquire a guy for purposes of Maisi Yedayim. So we say, Ashkechan ova kochavim, we found where a guy can own a guy. Ova kochavim Yisrael minolam. But how do I know that ova kochavim can own a Jew? Now why is that relevant? We're trying to figure out how a guy can own a guy, because the Gemara is now entertaining a different possibility. The Gemara is saying, the problem is, Eved Kenani is not he's not a Jew, but he's not a guy. So he's mechuyev in mitzvahs. So you've proven from Sichon that a guy can acquire a guy, but how do I know that a guy can acquire an Eved Kenani who has some din like Yisrael? So it says, d'chsiv, because it's written, v'yishbi mimenu shevi. But the pasuk says, in Bamidbar, v'yishma Kenani melech harod, Yoshev ha-Negev, that the Kenani, the melech harod, heard, kiva Yisrael derech ha-asarim, that they came that way, v'yilachim b'Yisrael, he did war with Yisrael, v'yish mimenu shevi, and he captured, or took from him, captives. And Rashi says, since he used the word shevi, a captive, it implies that he got ownership. So you see that the Kenani king took ownership of the Jews. So you see that a guy can acquire a Jew. So therefore, by force, because we already knew it by money, but now by force you see he can acquire it. So therefore, this guy who was the captor acquired the Eved by force for purposes of Maisi Yedayim. He then sold him to the guy who redeemed him, and that guy who redeemed him was able to betivel him and acquire his guf. Okay, so we've now finished this sugya. I hope it made sense. It's complicated. Okay, and now we're gonna move, hopefully. Amrav Shemim Bar Abba, Amrav Yochanan. New topic. Eved Shabarech mi Beis Haisurim. Well, not entirely new, but Eved Shabarech mi Beis Haisurim, Yatzu L'Cheiros. That Rav Yochanan said that if you have an Eved who was in jail or captured somehow, if he escapes and he runs away, he goes L'Cheiros, meaning he does not go back to his original owner. V'lo'od El Shekofenes Rabba V'Kosov L'Get Shechror. Not only that, Rav Yochanan says, we go to his master and say, we know where he is, you can't have him back, and you have to write a get shechrer. Why do we care if he writes a get shechrer? Because if he doesn't get a get shechrer, he can't marry a Jew. And we want him to be able to marry a Jew. So that's Rav Yochanan's halacha. So the Gemara asks, Tanan, from our Mishnah, Rav Shim Gamliel Amar, Rav Shim Gamliel says, Ben Kachu Ben Kach Yishtabed. That regardless of whether the person who redeemed him to be an Eved or to be a free person, he's still an Eved. So why did Rabbi Yochanan say that an Eved that runs away from jail is free? Why should our mission be any different? One case he's captured in jail, one case he's captured by a captor. If he gets free, he should have to go back to the Eved, to the master. Okay, so now let's compound the problem. So we have a saying of Rabbi Yochanan that conflicts with our Mishnah, with the halacha of our Mishnah, with the halacha of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, you might ordinarily say, well, Rabbi Yochanan holds like the Tanakhama. But here's the problem. Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kol makam sheshana Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'mishnah seinu halacha kamoso. Any case where Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that any case where it lists Rabbi Shimon Gamliel on a Mishnah, we pask in that way. Chutz me'arei v'tzidom v'raya achrona. I would love to tell you what those cases are, but we're short on time. There's three cases where Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. In all other cases, it follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So bishlom ala baya. Okay, so now we have a problem, because since Rabbi Yochanan tells us that he paskins like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which would apply in our Mishnah, now we have a stronger stira, because Rabbi Yochanan says a guy who gets out of jail, runs away, is free. But he said that a guy who gets redeemed, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and he's stuck going back to his original owner. So now we're going to clarify this. We're going to say, Bishlam ala Abaya, according to Abaya's Teretz, that we were talking about, Lifnei Yiyosh, Muki Lo Lahai Lifnei Yiyosh, V'Hai La'achar Yiyosh. So it's easy to understand. How would we explain the contradiction? Is that when Rabbi Yochanan says the guy gets out of jail, he goes free, is after Yiyosh, and our Mishnah, where Rav Shimon Gamliel said his halacha, was before Yiyosh. And why did he say it before Yiyosh? Rav Shimon Gamliel said because there's a mitzvah to redeem him, and people are going to do it. So that's why if we're understanding like Abaya, our Mishnah is talking before Yiyosh, and that's why Rav Shimon Gamliel says you have to go back, because the owner wasn't Yiyosh. And when he says he goes free and doesn't have to go back to his master, is talking after Yish. So I can explain the contradiction between the two halachas of Rabbi Yochanan. Elul Rava, but according to Rava, Damar Acher Yish, he said our Mishnah is talking about after Yish. So therefore he's saying, even though the owner is Miyayish, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says he has to go back to the original owner. And in the case of Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, when he goes free, he does not go back. Kasha de Rabbi Yochanan, de Rabbi Yochanan. So it's a stira and Rabbi Yochanan. Because in one case he says halacha, in the other case he paskins like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Amlecha Rava, Rava will tell you, time of my Mishum de Chizkiah. So he says, time of my. What was the reason in the Mishnah that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, even after years, he has to go back to the owner, Mishum Chizkiah? Because we were worried that Avadim were going to go get themselves captured so that they can get out of jail card possibly, right? So we were worried about that. But in the case of Boreach Shani, someone who's running away from a master, meaning not who's redeemed, is different, because Hashel L'Katala Maser Nafshe Apuli Apol Nafshe L'Gaisos, because what are we dealing with? We're dealing with a guy, we were worried he's going to go get himself captured so that he can get redeemed. So that applies in that case. We don't want people to do that. But a guy's not going to go get himself captured so he can run away, because what happens if you run away? You get killed. So we're not worried if you get caught. So we're not worried that the guy, that a lot of Avadim are going to do this, because it's too risky to go, to try and get out by saying, I'm going to go to get captured by an army, and then I'm going to run away. That we're not worried about, because chances are they'll get killed trying to run away. So it's not a societal problem. So therefore, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel made Xera because it was talking about being redeemed. And a lot of Avadim are going to want to do that. In the Brisa of the Halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, we're dealing with someone who's running away, and that's not something people are likely to put themselves into that situation. Okay, these have been tough Gemara, so we get a story. Amtsei d'mar Shmuel ishtabai, that the maidservant of Shmuel was captured. Perku l'shum amasa, that what happened? Some people liked Shmuel, so they went and they redeemed her. And they said they're redeeming her so that she should continue to serve. and they gave her back to Shmuel. Shalchule, they said to Shmuel, Anan, Rav Shimon Gamliel Svirlan, that we hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and therefore it goes back. This is talking before Yish, therefore it goes back to the original owner because he hasn't been Miyayish. And Rav Shimon Gamliel does not say we're worried that people aren't going to redeem him because Rav Shimon Gamliel says there's a mitzvah. So they said, we hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, so for sure it comes back to you. But at inami krabbanon svirle, even if you, Shmuel, hold like the Rabbanon in the Mishnah, anan l'shum amasa parkinon le that we redeemed her with the intent that she should continue to be an Eved. So remember, the Rabbanon in the Tanakhama in the Mishnah said that if you redeem the Eved to be an Eved, it goes back to the original owner. So they said, first of all, we hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel. But even if you don't hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, just know that we redeemed her with in mind that she should continue to be your Eved, so you could take her back, Shmuel. But they had a problem. They assumed that Shmuel hadn't been Miyayish. So they said, whether like Rav Shimon Gamliel, whether like Rabbanon, you have her back. Velohi, that's not true. La'achar Yish Havei. Shmuel had already been Miyayish. So therefore, now you have a problem, because regardless of what you're going to say, in a case of Yish, according to Rava, it does not go back. It doesn't go back to the original owner and the Rishonim explained that Shmuel, in this case, holds like a Baye. So therefore, he's going to say that when you're Miyayish, it can't go back to the original owner. So now we have a problem, because they went and redeemed this Amma, but Shmuel had already been Miyayish, and because he was Miyayish, he doesn't get it back. Not only did Shmuel not take her back as an Amma, but in fact, he didn't even require a get shechra. Now that sounds opposite, because he's saying he's not enslaving her. So you should say, and he gave her a get shechra. We're saying, no, not only he so much didn't want to take her back because he already been miyayish, that he did not give her a get shechra. What does that mean? Shmuel, Taimei Shmuel goes according to his reason. Damar Shmuel, that Shmuel says, Hamafkir Avdo, if someone is mafkir is Eved, Yatzel Echeros, the Eved goes free, Ve'ein Tzarech get shechra. So he argues with Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan said above, if an Eved runs away, we compel him to give a get shechra. Shmuel says he doesn't even need a get shechra. Why? Where does Shmuel learn it from? Shenemer, because it says, Chol Eved Ish Miknas Kesef, that the pasuk says as follows, by Karban Pesach, it says that before a guy can do Karban Pesach, he has to give bris milah to all of his avadim. So the question is, I'm sorry, so it says, Chol Eved Ish Miknas Kesef, that every eved that belongs to a man. So the Gemara says, eved ish v'lo eved ish, are you telling me that it's an eved who belongs to a man, but an eved who belongs to a woman, she doesn't need to arrange for the bris milah before Karban Pesach? There's no reason to think that. Ela eved sheyesh lo reshus rabo, I love kari eved, she'en lo reshus rabo, I love ain kari eved. It was teaching us a new halacha, which says, when it says eved ish, the eved of a man, says, as long as there's a man who's asserting control, he's an eved. If there's a man, if there's not a man who's asserting control, he's not an eved. So therefore, it's teaching us a halacha by Karban Pesach, that if a man is mafker, is eved, he can have the Karban Pesach, even though that eved never got bris milah, because it's not considered an eved if the owner has relinquished ownership of him. Therefore, Shmuel goes l'taimei. Shmuel says that when someone's mafker an eved, they don't even have a halach of an eved anymore. And therefore, they would not require a get shechur. So in this case, they redeemed the amma, but it was after yish. So therefore, Shmuel said, I can't take her back because I was already miayish. And not only that, I don't even need to give her a get shechur because my halach is that when someone is mafker an eved, you don't need a get shechur. I'm sorry. Okay, another story. I'm saying the Rav Abba Bar Zutra ishtaboy that the Amma of Rav Abba Bar Zutra was captured. Pirka hahu tarmuda lushum itza. So a certain person from Tarmud, a guy, redeemed her so that he could have her as a wife. They sent to him to Rav Abba Bar Zutra lididei iyois avdas. If you want to do the right thing. Shadr la gitta de cherusa. You should send her a document, a get shechrar. So the Gemara is trying to understand what happened here. Hey chidami, what's the case? Ida matzu parkila. If the guy is willing to have her be redeemed, lamale gitta de cherusa. So why did you send to Rav Abba Bar Zutra? You should just go redeem her. Ida lamati pirkala. If the guy doesn't want to sell her, he's not willing to have her be redeemed. So then what does it help to send her a get shichra? The guy is still holding her and he took her to be his wife. So how have you helped matters, Chachamim, when you tell him to send a get shichra? He says, all on the matzah parkle. Really, we're talking about where the fact that the guy from Tarmud is willing to have her be redeemed for a reasonable price. And if you, Rav Abba Bar Zutri, would give a get shechur, chavuri mechabri adadi upirkula. They hold, not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and they hold there's no chiyuv to free an eved. They say, if you say that you're going to redeem her, and therefore they're going to feel that when they redeem her, she actually goes out to freedom, then they'll do it. We encountered that thought before. That was the Tanakama according to Abaya. So therefore, they were telling him, send the get shechur, which would say that she's free, at which point people will put their money together and redeem her. I'll give you another teretz. Really, the guy from Tarmud is not willing to redeem, to have them buy her. And get ready for this one. But if you send her a get shechrar, it's going to be publicized that so-and-so Jew, Rav Abba Bar Zutra, freed this former slave woman of his, and the guy's going to be embarrassed that he's married to a Jewish slave woman, and therefore he's going to be willing now. Originally, he wasn't willing to sell her, but now he'll be willing to sell her because he's embarrassed that he took a former Jew slave of a Jew. So the Gemara has a problem with this. So we have the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. We don't have time to get into it right now, but it basically says that a guy would rather have relations with a behemoth of a Yisrael than with their own wives. So the Gemara's kasha is that if a guy is happy to have relations with a behemoth of a Jew, they should be happy to have relations with a wife of a Jew. Or, I'm sorry, with an eved of a Jew. So why does the Gemara say he's going to be embarrassed? So the Gemara says, "Hani mili b'tzinav v'hehestia zilu b'milsa." He says what he does with animals is his business. That's private business, and that he wants to have Jewish animals. But the amma here, it's going to be publicized that he married the former slave of a Jew. It's embarrassing to him, and therefore he's going to allow her to be redeemed. Okay, now new story. There was a certain maidservant in Pumbadisa that had become avdiba in Shi Yisura, that people were doing averis with her. They were basically having relations with her. This amma. Amra Abaya says he loved Amra Yehuda Mishmul Kol Meshachra Avdi Over Basay. If not for the fact that there's a halacha that says, the pasuk says Olam Behem Tavodu, that you should forever have them serve, and therefore there's an iser to be meshachra an eved. It's you're doing an avera if you free an eved. So Abaya was saying, if not for the fact that it will be an avera to free this Eved, have a kaifna le lamare, I would force the owner, the kasev la gita de cherusa, I would make her free this Amma. Why would that help? Rashi explains, because if you would free her, then she's able to be married by a Jew. A Jew will marry her, a man, and he's going to watch over her and make sure that she's not mezana. So therefore, we would remove this michshol of having this Amma in town who's willing to be promiscuous. So Abaya says, if not for the fact that there was an Aveira, I would force the owner to be Mashachar her. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, Ki ha maida Rav Yehuda misham milsa di sura. Ravina says, I disagree with you. Even Rav Yehuda, who says that it's usur to free a slave, would agree that if there's some isser going on here, like this, where a woman is being promiscuous and bringing down the level of the Jews in the area, he would agree that you can redeem the slave. So therefore, we have a machlokas between Abaya and Ravina. Abaya says, I wish I could force the guy to redeem this woman so that she's not promiscuous, but I can't because it's an Aveira. Ravina says, it's not an Aveira if you're doing it for a good purpose. The Abaya, Mishumi Surah Lo, is it true that Abaya holds that if there's a problem, that if there's Isser going on, you can't redeem a slave? Hamar of Chanina bar of Ketina, Hamar of Yitzhak, Rav Chanina bar of Ketina said in the name of Yitzhak, Maisa b'isha echos, shechetz yashifcha v'chetz ben charen. So you had a woman who was half free, half served. We're going to see this in a few days in the Mishnah's famous Mishnah about chatzia v'chetz ben charen. But the basic idea is that because she's a part free woman, she can't marry an Eved. And because she's a part Eved, she can't marry a Jew. So she's stuck. So therefore, we had a case where a woman could not get married. V'kafos rabba v'so ben chorin. And we forced her master to free her. And Rashi explains, we didn't force him to free her so that she could have children and get married, because a woman doesn't have a chiyuv to have children. So why did we do it? Because when you have a woman in this half-half situation, she can't get married. Men are gonna end up coming to her, right? And she'll be desperate because she can't get married, and she doesn't have a man over her watching her and demanding her loyalty. So therefore, they were worried that there would be minig hefkeris, and they freed her. So the kasha is, Abaya, you see that over there, that they freed the woman because they were worried if she's in this half-half status, she's going to end up being promiscuous. What about the fact that it's usher to release a slave? It must be that when there's isser going on, it's okay. So how would you answer that, Abaya? So hachi hasha. Abaya would say, no, that's not a question. Hasam lo le'eved chazio, lo le'ben chorin chazio. Because there's no option. The woman's half eved, half ben chorin, and therefore, there's nothing we can do with her. Hacha efshar d'miyached lo la'avdei u'minter lo. But here, there's something the owner can do. Instead of forcing him to be mashachar her, we'll tell the owner, you take this amma who's promiscuous, you designate one single slave and say to that slave, she's yours, you better watch over her because she's a promiscuous woman, and then therefore that slave is going to watch over the woman. So Abaya is basically saying, I agree with you that if there's isser going on, we could get over the lav of releasing the Eved, but only if there's no other solution. Here there's a solution. Give her to another Eved. But when it's chati Eved, chati ben korin, that's not a good solution because even an Eved is not allowed to be with her and therefore he won't watch her. Okay. Gufa, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, Kol Meshachra, Avda, Over Baaseh, Shenem Le'olam Behem Tavodu. This is the halacha we said, that if someone redeems an Eved, that he is, he's over on an Aveira, and on Aseh, because it says, Le'olam Behem Tavodu, that you should always serve, you, and therefore it's an Isser to release an Eved. The Gemara asks, Meisvei, I'll ask you a question, Meisvei, Rebbe Lezer, Shenichnes, Bepeis HaKnesses, Rebbe Lezer came to Shul. Sometimes we have this 9 o'clock Meir, it would be helpful if we had Avadim. And what happened? There were 9 people. They were short one for a minion. Lo'imatzasar, they didn't find the 10th. V'shichr Avdai, he freed his slave, who was an Eved Kenani. V'shlim al-Asar, because when he frees him, he becomes a full-fledged Jew, and he was able to be mashlim the minion. So the Gemara says, mitzvah shani. It's different, because there he wanted to do a mitzvah, so you're not over on the Aveir. If the reason you released the Eved was in order to perform a mitzvah, to have a minion, that's not being over on the Aveir. Now, Tan Rabbanan. So we're gonna ask a kasha of sorts. Tan Rabban Le'olam Behem Tavodu Rishus. That when it says Le'olam Behem Tavodu, they should always serve you, sounds like an absolute. Sounds like an Eved Kenani should always serve its master, and therefore you shouldn't release it. Rabbi Elazar says it doesn't work like that. Why? Because where is this pasuk written? Le'olam Behem Tavodu was written in the case of where we talked about this before. That if you had a man came from outside of Canaan who married a Kenani woman, we say the children are eligible to be avadim. And therefore, li'olam behem tavodu, they can always work for you, meaning they can be permanent slaves. But what are we talking about here? We're talking about the Torah was telling us a heter. It was saying if you want to take as an eved the son or daughter of a non-Kanani man with a Kanani woman, then you can do that and make him or her serve forever. So le'olam behem tavodu is a reshus. It's talking about something you can do if you want. So le'olam behem tavodu reshus to Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva says chova, it's an obligation. So now the Gemara is going to say, why did you have to tell me v'dilma Rabbi Elazar savor lo kamanda amar reshus? Why did when it says that when you say mitzvah is shani and that's why Rabbi Elazar redeemed his eved, why not instead say the reason Rabbi Elazar redeemed his eved to make the minyan is because he held that there it's an option to serve them forever. It's not a mitzvah because that whole thing was written by an optional taking an eved, and therefore it's not an aveir to redeemer. And you don't have to say mitzvah shani. Just say that maybe Rabbi Elazar redeemed his eved to be the tenth man because he held that this was a reshus, and he doesn't hold that it's an iser. Lo sokadaitach. You shouldn't think that the sanya behedya because we learned in a brisa Rabbi Elazar amar chover. Rabbi Elazar says it's a chov. So Rabbi Elazar says is of the opinion that no, you cannot release even the son of a non-Kanani man and a Kanani woman. So why did he release his eved to be the tenth man? Must be because mitzvah shani. Okay. Amar Rabba. Rabba says bahani talas mili nachsi bali batim nechsan. That for the following three things that they did wrong, the bal batim lost their property. What are the three cases that people lost their money? The mafki avdayu lecherusa, people who freed avadim and set them free in violation of liolam behem tavodu. Udesairi nechsayu b'shabta. People who would do the following. They would not work on Shabbos. They wouldn't work their fields, but they'd walk around their fields and say, okay, tomorrow I need a weed over here, and I need a plow over there. So they're doing things on Shabbos they shouldn't be doing. Those people lost their nechasim. Udukavi sudasayu b'shabta b'idim b'medrasha. And those who would make their sud on Shabbos during the time of the Beis Medrash. What is this? This is a early makar for why Kiddush clubs are bad. So basically they said that people didn't learn a whole week. And so on Shabbos they set aside time that the rabbi would speak, right? So, and then these people made lunch during that time. So if they made lunch during that time, they didn't hear the speech. So they had a problem with that and said, therefore, they lost their money. Okay. Dam Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Rav Yochanan, Shtei Mishpachas Hayu Yerushalayim, Achas Kavas Sudasa B'Shabta, V'Achas Kavas Sudasa B'Erev Shabbos, U'Shtei An Nekru. That there were two families in Yerushalayim. One did their meal on Shabbos during the rabbi's speech, and that was a problem. And the other one did their sud on Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, Rashi says one of two things. Either that they did it, they made their main meal on Friday night because they didn't want to conflict with the speech, which was a nice sentiment, but that's the wrong thing to do because your main meal has to be on Shabbos day. Alternatively, they literally ate a meal on Erev Shabbos, which is not good because then you walk into Shabbos and you have no appetite left. So in any event, both these families, the one who did the meal during the speech and the ones who did the meal on Erev Shabbos, who was Shtem Nekru, they were both uprooted, I guess means they lost their money. Okay, Amar Rabba, Amar Rav. Hamakdish Avdo, slightly complicated topic, there's a lot of them today. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav. Hamakdish Avdo, Yatzel Lecheres. If someone says that I'm makdish my eved to hektish, the eved goes free. My taima, what's the reason? Gufo lo kadish, because for sure the eved is not, it doesn't get kedushas aguf, because where do we find kedushas aguf? It's something that can be used in the Beis HaMikdash. They can't do anything with the eved in the Beis HaMikdash. L'dami lo kamar, l'dami lo kamar, and he didn't say he was doing it for the money, so according to Rabba in the name of Rav, if he was just trying to say, I want to give the value of my eved, he'd have said that. Dilahave am kadosh kamar. So when he said that he's makdish his eved, what did it mean? Meaning he wanted him to be part of the am kadosh. Who's the am kadosh? The Jewish nation. How does an eved become part of the am kadosh? By being freed. So when he said that he wants to be makdish his eved, clearly it didn't mean the Beis HaMikdash. It must have meant that he wanted him to be a Jew. And therefore when he says, I'm makdish my eved, the eved goes free. Rav Yosef Amar Rav. Rav Yosef says, Hamafkir avdo yatzel lecheres. He had a different version of what Rav said. He said that if someone's mafkir his eved, then the eved goes free. So manda amar makdish kol shekei mafkir. If you're telling me that someone who said that they're makdish the eved goes free, then for sure, if by saying I'm makdish my eved and saying I want him to be part of Klal Yisrael, he goes free, then for sure if he says I'm mafkir my eved, I give it up, then that would work. Mandamer mafkir, but if the one who said that Rav said mafkir is saying maybe dafka mafkir he goes free, I'll makdish lo, dilmul adame kamar, because I won't assume that if he says I want to be makdish my eved to the Beis HaMikdash, he meant that he should become part of the Jewish nation. Maybe He meant that he wanted to give the value of his eved, and therefore the eved would not go free. So it depends which way you understand Rav's halacha. So the Gemara asks, Yiboilu tzarech get shechra or lo tzarech? Now, the question is, if you had someone who either was he was makdish his eved or he was mafker his eved, does he need a get shechrar? Or when he says, I'm makdish my eved, and he becomes part of the Jewish people, he doesn't need a get shechrar. Tashma, Dam Rav Chiya Barabin, Amarav, Echazev, Yechazev, Yatzel Echeros, Betzarech get shechrar. They both go free, and they need a get shechrar. So again, we're running into this machlokas a number of times, of Yochanan and Shmuel, we had it before. If you set someone free, do you need to actually give a get shechrar or not? Shmuel was the one who said not, because we see that by Karban Pesach, that if it's Eved Ish, then it's an Eved, and if it does not have a master asserting control, it's not an Eved, you wouldn't need Get Shechra, but this Mandamra holds you need Get Shechra. Okay, Amar Rabba. Now Rabba is the one who said that if someone's Makdish their Eved, the Eved goes free, because he wanted to be part of the Jewish people. So Rabba says, and Rabba said in the name of Rav, Umasvina Nashmaita, I'm going to ask Akasha on our own statement. We said that if a guy's Makdish is Eved, it can't go to the Beis HaMikdash, and instead he's becoming part of Klal Yisrael. But I'm going to ask you as follows. HaMakdash Nechasa V'Hayya Behen Avadim, if someone is Makdash all of his possessions, and among his possessions are Avadim, Ein Agiz Boyin Rashoyin Lahotziin L'Cheirus, Avo Mochir Nosan L'Cheirin V'Cheirin Motziin Nosan L'Cheirus. He says as follows, and I'll explain. The Gizbar, the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, is not allowed to let him go free, or for that matter, to let him be redeemed. They can sell this person, they can sell this Eved to other people, and those other people can free him or redeem him. What's this going on here? Because when a person is makdish his nechasim to the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash doesn't take ownership of the body of the Eved, it takes ownership for purposes of the value of the Eved. So therefore, what can they do? They're not the owner. All they are is have an entitlement to sell it in order to get the money into the Beis HaMikdash. But they're not the owner, and therefore, an Eved has a right to redeem himself. He can pay the owner. How does an Eved get money? Rashi talks about it, that if someone gives money to an Eved and says, this is not to go to your owner, it's for you, he could use that money to redeem himself. He cannot do that. He could do that with his owner, but he can't do it with the Gizbar. Why? Because the Gizbar doesn't own the body of the Eved, he just owns the right to sell the Eved, right?
Who owns the body if he was Makdish?
It's actually, the Rishonim talk about this, and they're like, how is it that you could sell it to someone who then could sell it, who could then redeem him? So, if I have time, I could talk about it, but I doubt I'll have time. So therefore, we see that, that they could sell him to someone else, and then someone else can free him either in exchange for money or not. So you see, Hekdesh owns the right to the money, but Hekdesh does not own the body. Rabbi says, I agree with you that you don't, generally speaking, own his body, but he can buy himself back from the Gizbar. Why? Because what difference does it make whether the Gizbar sells it to the Eved himself or sells it to someone else? As long as Rashi explains it, that the Eved does it al shem mechira, sale, not al shem pidyon. Because if they try to do it al shem pidyon, pidyon is a relationship between an Eved and an owner. Gizbar is not the owner, but he has the economic entitlement, so therefore Rabbi says, why play this charade and sell it to A, who's going to be meshachar him? You could just be meshachar him directly as long as you do it petoras a sale. But what's the problem? The problem is as follows. You see that everyone's grappling with this issue of what to do with the avadim that ended up by the Gizbar. But Rabba said in the name of Rav that when you're makdish and eved, what happens? He goes free. He becomes part of Klal Yisrael. So why are we grappling with what the Gizbar is going to do? The Gizbar doesn't own it. The guy is now a full-fledged Jew, according to Rav. Rabba in the name of Rav. So this Mishnah, this Brisa is a problem for Rabba, what he said in the name of Rav. So the Gemara says, Masnisin karamis alei de Rav. You're asking me from this Mishnah on Rav? Rav Tanahu Palag. We know that Rav was quasi Tana, quasi Amora, and he had the ability to argue on Tanayim. So he says, what's your point? So you brought me a Mishnah that holds differently than Rav. Rav holds that when you're Makdish and Eved, he goes free, and these other Tanayim hold that when you're Makdish and Eved, he goes to the Gizbar for the value, so they have a different disagreement. Okay. Tashma, Ach Kol Cherem, this is again going to be a kasha on Rab in the name of Rav. It says Kol Cherem, so we know that someone can say that something is a Cherem to him. And therefore it becomes part of the Beis HaMikdash. So it says the pasuk over there says Ach kol chem asher yachrim ish lashem, whatever he makes chem to Hashem, he kol asher lo, from whatever he has, may adam ubehemo mustayach uzasa, from a man and his behemoth. So it says may adam when it says that he makes a chem from his possessions that are adam elu avadav shvachos avaknanim. So it says these are avadim and shvachos that are kananim. So what do you see? You see that someone can be makdish, because a chayrim is just like hektish. You see that someone can be makdish, they're avadim. And why don't you, Rashi says, why don't you say Rav Tanahu Palik? Why are you asking from a Mishnah? Because the Mishnah is bringing from a pasuk. And even Rav can't argue on a pasuk. So you see that someone can be makdish by doing a chayrim, they're eved and shivchas, and you see it becomes part of the Beis HaMikdash. So we say, hachab of my askinan, what are we talking about here? He's you're right. That's a problem that says when you do a cherem, the amr l'dami. So he says, how am I going to explain that Mishnah when he does the cherem that he could give his eved? Is that he gives the eved for the purposes of the value. If he explicitly says, remember earlier we said that it can't be for the value because he would have said it explicitly. So now we're explaining this Mishnah by saying it's a case where the owner said, I'm making a cherem explicitly the value of my eved, but not the eved itself. Because if he would say the eved itself, he would go free. So the Gemara says, "Yihachi idach nami d'amar l'dami." If that's a good answer to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case where he clarified and explicitly said, "I'm doing it for the value," so why did you say before Rav Tanahu Palag and say that there's a machlokas tanayim? Why didn't you say that when Rav said he goes free was where he said I'm makdish my eved that goes free, but where the other tanayim said he doesn't go free is where he said it's for the money, and that's why they were dealing with this question in the Gizbar. So why didn't you answer the same question there? So he says, "Ihachi." If so, there's multiple problems. The first Mishnah said, "En Gizbar Rashayin Lahatzin Lecheiros," that the Gizbar can't let him be pulled or send them free. Gizbar Mayavadatayu. What does the Gizbar have to do here? If all he did was gave the value, means he obligated himself to give the value of the Eved, why would the Gizbar be selling the Eved? He didn't give the Eved, he gave the value. He obligated himself to give money. Vesu, and furthermore, Abba Mochernos al Achem, Achem Motzinos al Lecheros, he could sell it to someone else who in turn will sell it, give him into freedom. Acherim Ayavidatayu. What are those other people selling? They don't own anything. All that happened here was a guy promised to give money to Hekdesh. Vesu, and furthermore, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Omer ani afu nosim de meyatma v'yotzim v'teishu kemochra lo. That Rebbe said, nah, you can just do it directly, let him be pulled himself, betoras mechira, because, and therefore he could do it himself. But again, why would the guy redeem himself from the Gizbar? The Gizbar has no connection to him, because all that happened here is the guy said, I want to give my value to the Beis HaMikdash. So, for all of those reasons, vi ledami, maimi fenesha kumachrolo. So, and if all he said is that I want to give my value, What does it mean that it's as if he sells them? There's no sale going on here. All there was a monetary obligation. So for all those three reasons, you see that in that case, we must have been talking that the Eved actually landed somehow by the Gizbar. And according to Rav, in the name of Rav, an Eved can never land by the Gizbar because if you're Makdish to Eved, he goes free. So that's why we said there, Rav Tanahu Palag. But the second Brisa, we can answer that there's a distinction because in one case, where Rav said he goes free is where he's makdish to Eved entirely, and therefore the guf goes free. Whereas the other Tana, who says they could do a cherem, was talking where he said cherem, that he didn't say I'm makdish the Eved, he said I'm makdish the value of the Eved, and therefore, in fact, it would end up in some fashion by the Gizbar.